Well, good morning and welcome to the church at Avenue South, especially if you're a first-time guest. We are so grateful and glad that you're here this morning. Last week, I had the opportunity to get away with the family for the kids' fall break, and Matthew Page, one of our ministers here at the campus, preached, and I'm so grateful for all the talented women and men we have on our church staff. So I am grateful for him leading us to worship through the Word, and we're going to continue doing that. We do that every time we gather, because God's word is living and active, and so we want what happens in this place to affect our lives outside of this room the other 6 days of the week. And so we're going to continue worshiping through reading God's word together. Now, I got to tell you, it is so good to see the plaid out in full force, not only this morning, but throughout our community. I even told somebody this morning that did not have a plaid shirt, I carry a backup plaid. I always have one on hand. Be more than glad to share that with you. I feel like we went from summer to winter in 7 days. And that's how it is the longer you're in Middle Tennessee. Sometimes you get all four seasons in 1 week. Sometimes you go from summer to winter. And this is unscientific research, but what I have discovered is that most people tend to prefer spring and summer rather than fall and winter. We got a whoop over on this side, okay? Like, that is affirmation. Like, it's just unscientific, but that's what I mean. Like, most of us tend to, and that's a large generalization, so if you're like, I love winter, don't you judge me. I'm not. But most people prefer summer and spring to the winter months, if you will. And there's a number of reasons for this. Now, for me personally, I'm not excited about the winter months because that brings Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I've been doing the keto thing and I'm trying to avoid the sugar and the carbs. And this past week during Halloween week, I ate like Slimer from the Ghostbusters. It was absolutely awful. And I know there's more temptation that lies ahead for me. So maybe there are some challenges that lie ahead for you centered around the holidays. Maybe it's because it's bitterly cold. Like, it's harder to get dressed, more layers. You got to go start the car. It's just cold. It's sometimes uninviting. And even the landscape looks barren. It doesn't look like there's much going on. And it doesn't get us excited the way it does when the sun comes up in the spring and the summer. And the interesting thing about us as human beings is that God has planted inside of each of our bodies, He has given us a soul. He's given us a soul, and there are seasons of the soul as well. And I'm going to make the suggestion. I'm going to assume you might agree with me that most of us might prefer summer and spring seasons of the soul as opposed to those winter months. And maybe it's for the same reasons. Those winter months of the soul feel bitterly cold, uninviting, unenjoyable. We can't see much happening, and it discourages us. And that, for us as humans, is a problem. That's a problem, right? When we are discouraged, when there doesn't seem to be much going on, and things seem unenjoyable or uninviting. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are people of the book. That means we don't just build our lives on what you hear from the platform through a human voice. We don't build our lives and put our confidence in opinions and preferences of even good, well-intended Christ followers. We put it in the Word of God straight from His mouth. And so surely God's Word has something to say about the winter seasons of the soul and where we can find hope when we walk through those moments. And maybe you came in here in that season today. And if not, just hang on. You will at some point in the future. Surely God's word says something about that. Would you stand with me in honor of His word that's living and active? And we're going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. It says, there is an occasion, and your translation may say season. There is a season for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. There's a time to give birth and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There is a time to throw stones and there's a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace and there's also a time to avoid embracing. There's a time to search and a time to consider things lost. There's a time to keep and there's a time to throw away. There's a time to tear and there's a time to sow. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain for his struggles? I have seen the task that God has given the children of Adam to keep them occupied. And verse 11 goes on to say, he has made everything appropriate in its time. And he's also put eternity in the hearts of men and women. But no one can discover the work God has done from the beginning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we come in this room this morning, it is a season of winter. It is becoming more cold by the day. And for some of us, we walked in this room in a season of winter in our soul and in our life, and it is unenjoyable. It is cold, it is uninviting, and there does not appear to be much happening. Lord, through your word, would you remind us that there is a time and a season for everything. You have not forgotten us. You have not stopped loving us. Remind us of the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus. And we pray that in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, these are timeless words from Solomon, a son of David, who writes to us in Ecclesiastes. And verse 1 is pretty clear. There's an occasion or a season for everything. And that's only not only naturally, but the Lord reminds us as the seasons change that there is a time for every season of the soul. When it says an occasion or a season, these aren't referring in verse 1 to worldly or nature things. This is referring to the soul. There's good or easy seasons, the spring and the summer, as I mentioned. There are difficult or unenjoyable seasons or the winter. And these verses move back and forth between these extreme seasons. Solomon walks us through. There is a time for things that make us laugh, a time for dancing, a time to give birth, a time to start, a time to build up, a time to embrace. There's also a time in life for things that are bad or difficult or unenjoyable. There's a time to tear down. There is a time to weep. There's a time to mourn. There is a time to tear rather than sow, and on and on and on. What Solomon doesn't do in these short verses is show us how to accumulate or obtain more of the good spring summer seasons and how to avoid the winter seasons. So if you and I were to read this to say, what's the secret of life? And Ecclesiastes is a great book of God's truth through this writer to remind us of what is most important in life. These are wonderful observations that are applicable for us today just as much as they were when they were recorded originally in God's word. But Solomon doesn't offer us a way to obtain the good moments and avoid the bad. What he does in these 8 verses, in 14 statements, is to declare that God ordains, that he initiates or he allows, depending upon your theology, that God either initiates or he allows difficult seasons or the winter seasons to come into our life. God is sovereign, and that word literally means he is supreme or in control of all things. God is not unaware of the winter seasons that come into our life. He initiates and he allows the spring, the summer, as much as the winter. And that would be consistent with his character. It would be inconsistent with the character of God to say he is in control of the moments and the seasons we enjoy, but he doesn't know or he's not aware. Or why would this happen? Solomon wants us to know that God is sovereign and he is aware. He wants us to know and believe that God ordains. That means he initiates or allows winter to come into our life. God is just as purposeful during the winter seasons of the soul as he is during the summer or spring moments that we experience. We don't often think of this and we don't often remember this when we're in those barren, difficult, cold, bitter seasons of life, that God is just as purposeful during winter as he is during summer within our lives. Now, one of the things I can tell you from the full complement of Scripture and having been a human and knowing what the human condition and how life unfolds is that winter won't last forever. And there's someone in this room that the Lord woke you up and brought you in here so that you could hear a reminder based on Scripture that winter won't last forever in your life. It won't. There is a time to get excited. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to dance. And just as God is faithful to bring those seasons, he will bring them again. There is hope in the promises of God. Winter won't last forever. But God does what he does, and he allows what he allows, even during winter, for a reason. Now, if you were to keep reading in chapter 3, Ecclesiastes 3:14 says this, God works so that people will be in awe of him. God works all of the seasons of the soul so that people will be in awe of him and are mindful of him.
You know, this week I've been listening to a song. There was a song written by Nicole Nordeman. I don't know how many of you listen to her, but her lyrics are often very deep and saturated in Scripture. And in the year 2000, she wrote a song called Every Season, and I've had that song on repeat. And she talks about the different seasons of the soul and what God reminds her of during those seasons. And as I was listening to that, one of her lyrics says, "And everything in time and under heaven finally falls asleep, wrapped in blankets white, and all creation shivers underneath. And still I notice you when the branches crack, and in my breath on frosted glass, even now in death, you open doors for life to enter because you are winter." And her song is, "You are summer, you are spring, you are autumn, and yes, it's consistent with your character that you are also winter. You allow these things to come into our life, and in the midst of these moments, you are dropping seeds of hope and of growth in the future." Isn't that the story of the gospel? That Jesus lost his life. Many people would say that is not a good thing, that is a discouraging thing, but Jesus had to lay down his life so that the seed of the gospel might drop and bring hope eternally for those of us in this room. So God is sovereign, and if you're in a season of winter or you enter into one, and maybe it coincides with Thanksgiving and Christmas and the natural season of winter, but here's what you need to know. The Lord has allowed it or initiated it for a purpose. He knows what he's doing, and he's at work in your life. The biggest challenge that Solomon would give us is that he wants us to be fully present when those moments of winter come along. Now, the challenge might be that we might want to rush through these seasons of the soul where winter is upon us. We want winter to be over real quick. We want it to be over immediately. Lord, take this away. Get me through to the other side of this. We live in a world where sitcoms are wrapped up in 30 minutes, really 25 minutes considering the commercials, and everything is awesome and wonderful. You can binge watch your favorite season in less than 24 hours, maybe in a night on Netflix or Hulu or wherever you stream. We can wrap things up quickly. And so what happens unintentionally, being immersed in this world where things can be wrapped up on our timetable and everything's delivered to us, is that we want winter to be wrapped up, done, over. That's real. That's honest, right? But here's what you need to know. Winter doesn't work that way, and it won't be worked through quickly. Now, some of you may say, that's obvious. Why would you tell me that? That's not encouraging. Like, I need an answer here. I'm telling you because some of us are pressing, and we're pushing, and we're anxious, and we're nervous, and we're fearful because we want it to be over, and I'm telling you that it won't be worked through quickly. So don't put that pressure on yourself to have all the answers and to come into the spring season of your soul just yet. The Lord may have you there for a purpose and for a reason. A philosopher, Blaise Pascal, said this: "Many of us live in the past, reflecting on a season that we've already been through. When we're in the moment, we often reflect on something that we've already been through. We either regret the things we should have done or reminisce about the things we shouldn't have done. Or we live in the future, planning and anticipating and expecting that someday things will be good again. I will be happy and I will have a good time." His point is that if you live in the past, even nostalgic about warmer days, better days of the soul, or if you focus too long on the future, you do it at the expense of being fully present in the moment. And Solomon would tell us to be fully present in the season of winter. Don't wish it away. I'm not saying you can't reflect on the good things that have happened, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't want it to be over and shouldn't be anticipating those warmer months of the soul. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Solomon is saying. But he is saying there is a time that is appointed for this to happen. There's a time for this to happen, and as much of this season may not be enjoyable, Solomon says, don't waste it. Don't waste winter. Be fully present in it. And this word, there's a time, keeps coming up over and over and over again. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has made everything in its appropriate time. In its appropriate time. You can't control when God determines an appropriate time to allow winter in your life. You can't. I can't. We can't. But you can be fully present so that you don't waste it. Now, the Old Testament is written and recorded in Hebrew, but the word for time that we know in the Greek in the New Testament, there's a couple of words we use for time. The word time is chronos, which means chronologically, how things unfold linearly as we move forward in time. That's not the word that Scripture would use to refer to the appropriate time of winter being allowed into our life. The more appropriate Greek word would be kairos, or depending upon your pronunciation of the Greek, kairos. Kairos or kairos, which means a unique moment in time. We literally have a ministry within our church at the Brentwood campus named Kairos that I was privileged and blessed to be a part of. And the reason we named it that was there was a unique moment in time where the Lord allows something to come to fruition. It is much like, as we've often described that word, it's not like time on a watch, as I said. It's much like the time that it takes to watch and wait for a piece of fruit to be ripe, to be ready, to be plucked or picked or eaten or consumed. And what this simply means is winter comes into your life at a time that is very specific, very intentional by God. Because just like ripening fruit, God believes this is the right moment to produce in your soul something that might not come to fruition otherwise. Winter comes into our lives at just that moment. It's not coincidence. It's not by happenstance. At just the right moments. Now, you and I can be upset. We can be angry. We can be frustrated. I love the Psalms. I love the Psalms because many of them are happy and they're enjoyable. And others, King David is like, what is going on here? And it's an indictment upon us as the people of God to think that we have to sanitize our prayers or that we can't present our frustrations and our confusion and our anger to the Lord. We don't ever need to forget our reverent awe of him, that he's God and we're not. But he can handle our frustration. He can handle our doubts. He can handle our concerns. It's okay to feel that way. But one of the things that Scripture is reminding us here is that God allows winter to come into your soul at just that right moment, even with the emotions, even with the feelings, because he wants to produce something in your life that might not come about otherwise. And we have a God who is our Father. And when I use the word Father, for some of us, that's not a pleasant term. Maybe you don't know your Father. We don't have a good relationship with our Father. But the reason Scripture uses the word Father is to communicate. His original intent was to show that there's a godly Father who takes care of his children, who is our advocate, our protector. He goes before us. He comes behind us as our rear guard. And our Father loves and cares for us and does all things well. And he promises that he will be at work to do something in our lives during seasons of winter. And so Solomon says there's a time for that. Be fully present in that. Now, I think about sermons. When I think about sermons, I often think about, like, if I were sitting right there and somebody was preaching this, how would I receive that? What would be my concern? What would be my pushback? What would I be thinking? And one of the things that might be easy for us to say if you're in a Bible study or a small group or listening to a sermon and somebody says, be fully present, God is up to something, even in winter, though it may be unenjoyable, is for me or for you or for us to say, easy for you to say. Especially easy for somebody who's in a moment of spring or summer to say, hang in there, right? We get frustrated. We get upset maybe sometimes with that. Well, let me give you a better example than I could ever give you. One of the things that I'm mindful of on Sunday mornings is the preschool and the children's ministry and the songs they sing and all of the growth spiritually, numerically, all the great things that are happening on the other end of the building. And if you have been around any preschool or children's ministry for any length of time, then you are aware there is a song. There is a song that goes like this. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? Does everybody know that song? This is the day, right? Does anybody want to sing with me? Who's with me? Who's with me? That the Libby, that's strong. And it sounds great. You sound so much better than me. I'm so glad you started singing. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? We've all heard that one, yeah, like we're adults now though, right? We need stronger, more deeply theological songs, right? Do you know where that song comes from? That song comes from Psalm 118:24. Psalm 118:24 that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This day, not yesterday, not tomorrow, this day, right here, what's in front of me, I will rejoice and be glad and fully present in this day. Now, the reason that's important is because devout Jews, followers of God, would sing certain psalms as hymns when they traveled to Jerusalem for different festivals each year, different feasts. And during the week of Passover, Jews would sing the Psalms of Hallel. And what that word means is simply praise. They would sing psalms of praise. Psalm 113 through 118 are considered psalms of praise. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So if you're in winter and you're looking for God to show up and do what he's going to do, he inhabits the praises of his people. And if you want a psalm to sing in the winter of your soul, Psalm 113 through 118. The devout Jews would sing these during Passover. And one of the things that Jesus did with his disciples as Passover came about, do you remember he shared a meal with his disciples? He shared a meal with his disciples after they had had the Passover meal, which he said, I give you a new meal. The Lord's Supper, communion, which represents my body and my blood that's broken for you and shed on the cross for you. Jesus and his disciples would have sung the Psalms of Hallel. And the last song or psalm of praise during that week of Passover would have been Psalm 118, where we find in verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 26, verse 30, it says that after Jesus had served the Lord's Supper to his disciples to show them what he was going to do for them in a matter of hours on the cross, the Bible says in verse 30, after singing a hymn together, they left the upper room for the Mount of Olives. After singing a hymn together, they left the upper room for the Mount of Olives. Psalm 118 would have been most likely the psalm they would have sung right at the end of Passover. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And they didn't cherry pick verses. They most likely sung the whole psalm. Are you putting it together? What Jesus most likely sung with his disciples. And Jesus don't sing something without feeling it and without believing it and without trusting God's promises, because they all come true in the person of Christ. Jesus sung on the night before he was arrested, knowing what was ahead of him. You talk about winter, the cross, being murdered for the sins of humanity, for us laying down his life. You talk about a bad day at the office. He's in the center of all of that, knowing what's ahead, and says, this is the day. I will be glad and rejoice in it, because I know my Father would not allow anything to come into my life that is not for my good and for his glory. And Jesus prayed, Lord, if there's any way to let it pass, let it pass. But if not that, your will be done. It's okay to say, I don't enjoy it. I'm not feeling it. I'm angry, Lord. I'm frustrated, Lord. I don't like winter. But Lord, help me to be fully present, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I want to rejoice in it. And if you can't do that because a pastor encouraged you to, do it because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ modeled it for us. He's the better Adam. He's the best pastor. Jesus said, I will be fully present in the midst of what you are doing, Father. We have that example and so many others from the Old Testament and the New Testament about the life and the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ, so that in moments of winter, you and I do not lose hope. We don't lose hope, and we don't waste it, because the Bible is the Lord, the Bible says, is producing something in us. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 to you. It says, you rejoice in this. And what it means is you and I, we have hope in Jesus. And we rejoice in that. Even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, so that the refinement of your character, which is more valuable than gold, though perishable, is refined by fire and may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We rejoice in God's gospel, even in the midst of hardship and strife. And one of the reasons you need to be involved in the local church more than just 1 hour on Sunday is because sometimes you need people to come alongside of you and remind you of gospel truth just like this. When you're tired and you're weary and life feels barren and cold and unenjoyable, you need other people to come around you, put their arm around you, lift you up, support you, encourage you, and remind you, yeah, winter's not fun, but here's the deal. The Lord is doing something in you. We know it because he's promised us. He's shaping your character in this. And by the way, winter for farmers and crops, winter is essential. Like, I don't know if you know that, but like Jesus used tons of agricultural examples. Winter is essential for farmers and crops. Despite the appearances outdoors, we're in the urban core of the city. But as I love Middle Tennessee. Nashville is growing. We all know that, but you can be in farmland in 20 to 25 minutes. And if we could see it right now, despite appearances, winter is an important time because there's a lot happening biologically that can influence the next year's harvest. It's the same thing for your life. There's a lot that can go wrong in winter if it's not cold enough. There's a lot that can go wrong in our culture, and it would affect you and me if it's not cold enough. A deep freeze of winter chills things enough to kill off pests, bacteria, anything that can hinder growth. Sometimes the Lord allows winter into our lives to prune and refine things out of our lives. Instead of running from it, maybe we should pray, Lord, what are you doing? What are you pruning? What are you trying to protect me from that I'm not aware of? Maybe that's it. But one agriculturalist said this, shorter days and sustained low temperatures bring a cycle of dormancy, a deep, almost anesthetized, I cannot pronounce that and I'm 43, an almost anesthetized, listen to the podcast this week and make fun of me later, anesthetized sleep during which growth is temporarily halted. Measured in what agriculturalists call chilling hours, this is the time when plants' energy is held in reserve and builds up and stores up and increases. There's stuff happening. You just can't see it. And without sufficient chilling time, a fruit will generate weaker buds, limited harvest, and diminished growth. God's work during winter in our lives is often slow over time. It is hidden, not observable to the human eye. But just like physical winter, God does some of his most productive and beneficial work in the life of his people during winter. God does some of his best and most productive work during winter because he knows it's necessary to produce a harvest in your life and in my life in the season to come. And the verses we read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses from Romans chapter 5 that talks about perseverance produces character and character yields hope and hope does not disappoint. All of the full complement of Scripture reminds us that we have a loving Father who does all things well with great purpose, and he has promised to bring about our good. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. It does not say that all things are good. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that verse misquoted by Christians. It does not say that all things are good. It says your God does not know how to fail. And he will work all things, even winter, for your good if you will be fully present in it. And if you will not be so focused on the past that you're not mentally, emotionally, and spiritually engaged in the present to hear his voice and to learn from him. Or if you're not so concerned about the future and when this season will be over. He will work this for your good who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predetermined to conform you and me into the image of Christ to shape our character so that just like Jesus, we might bring glory to God and that he might fill our hearts and our souls with joy. God does some of his most productive work during winter because he knows it's necessary to produce a harvest in our future. I don't know why God may have brought winter into your life. I can't tell you that. I wouldn't cheapen our friendship by saying, here's what God's doing. Sometimes we can say that because we see how it works in the Old Testament, the New Testament. We hear stories within the church and we say, of all the things we've seen God do, maybe here's what he's trying to produce. Greater joy, greater trust. Maybe winter prunes everything away where all you have is God. And for those of us who've been in those moments, I can tell you the years where I've been through those moments where you realize all you've got is God and you realize that's really all that matters. God could be doing any number of things. But Solomon and the Word of God would say, there's a time for everything. And during the seasons of the soul, we're going to talk about spring and we're going to talk about summer. And some of you are like, I cannot wait for that sermon. Like, let's move on. We'll get there. But thank goodness God doesn't sanitize his Word and only give us the nice, pleasant, warm and fuzzy things. Because it is winter. And there are difficult relationship decisions and choices and family dinners that are awkward and uncomfortable ahead of us. And work-related issues and decisions, and praise God, he tells us, I see winter, and I've allowed it for a purpose. Don't miss it. Don't waste it. Be fully present, because I'm producing in you something that wouldn't happen otherwise. The greater question is, do we trust him, and will we allow him to do his work in our lives? I wouldn't tell you this unless I wasn't willing to apply this scripture to my life or haven't walked through seasons where I did this and saw that God was faithful. And that's what he's inviting us to do. So let me encourage you to bow your head and close your eyes. One of the things that we've chosen to do during this sermon series is to move the prayer time to the end of the sermon. If you're a visitor or a guest, one of the things you'll notice, one of the rhythms that we have as a church is that we pray congregationally together on Sunday mornings. And we're going to do that today. And we want to encourage you to pray in whatever way you feel led. And sometimes pastors, and when you visit churches, they'll prompt you with a few things to pray because that may be helpful. You may not know what to pray for. But here's what I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to give you just a couple of handles to hold on to, and then we're going to give you time to pray. And prayer is a two-way conversation where you tell God, you communicate with Him, whatever's stirring up emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever's stirring up, you communicate with Him. And then you also listen for His voice. So you may need to do both. You may want to do one. You may want to do the other. That's between you and Him. But let me just give you some handles, and then I'm going to let you talk to Him. Maybe you're here this morning, and it's winter, and you are mad, you are angry, you are frustrated. And I'm here to tell you those are all legitimate emotions that are part of the human experience. God made you, and He made me. It's okay to feel that way. But one of the greatest ways to work through winter and discover what God's doing is just to quit holding those in and holding up our safe distance from God. Tell Him how you feel. Just get it all out. And maybe all you get in this time is you just tell Him, this is how I feel about this, and I don't even want to talk about anything else. If that's the best you got, He would love for you, His child, just to talk to Him. He's got plenty to say to you, but maybe today you're not ready for that. And that's fine. I want to respect that. And he wants you just to talk to Him. Maybe today you want to say, Lord, I believe Scripture, believe what we heard this morning, but it's just not fun, give me the ability to be fully present. And then you pray and call Jesus by name and say, Jesus, in the same way you were fully present in the moment during such a difficult time in your life, give me the ability to Psalm 118:24. Give me the ability to say, I'll be fully present in this. I will be grateful the Lord has allowed this for His glory and for the shaping of my character, which produces joy. Maybe you just want to pray, Lord, let me be fully present. Don't let me focus on the past or the future. Let me be fully present. And only Jesus can do that for you. I can't. Nobody else can. Only He can help you truly do that. Or maybe you want to pray, Lord, exactly what is it that you're shaping in my character? And maybe you start praying that and you know what it is. He's increasing your patience. He's trying to increase your trust in Him. Maybe He's trying to produce one of the fruits of the Spirit. You may want to pray, Lord, what exactly is it that you're doing during this season? And if you start to sense from the Holy Spirit exactly what it is, say, Lord, have your way. Do it. Make it so. Help me. Because I don't want to waste it. I think the worst thing would be we'd go through winter, as awful and uncomfortable it is, and we wasted it. We might as well lean in and let God do what He's going to do. When it's time to harvest, man, let's gather that harvest and enjoy it. When it's time for winter, let's let winter do what winter does so that God can be glorified and we can find joy in Him. You pray as you feel led over the next few moments. You can come down front and pray right where you're seated. And Ronnie and the team will ask us to stand and sing in response to God's truth. He is good, He is faithful in summer and in winter.